The first one will be in Proverbs chapter 20. And then two other verses in this Proverbs, then one in Job, and then in the middle, the Psalms. So Proverbs, go back two books to Job, and then the Psalms follow Job. If you're there, would you pray with me? My Father, our dependence, our hope, our help, our strength, our light, all is in the blessed Lord Jesus. And you have given us an inspired book. Precious is thy word, enlightening, giving hope, and the many promises that the children of God can store away to live upon in times of need. Now, Father, if we have not thy Spirit this day, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, exalting thy name, thy being, and lifting high our Lord Jesus, and opening the scriptures to us, giving us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. Lord, we missed it today, but if you give these things to us, great will be our gain, because the children not only hear, but they do. Of all that Jesus began to say and do, the one thing certain is that the children will follow in his footsteps. James said that we would manifest our faith by our works, not getting the two intertwined, both separate. Faith first, works will always follow. Now, Father, I pray that you might help all of these, from young to old, from the unconverted to the child of God that's been walking with you for some time. Do help, Lord. Take everybody's mind now and heart and focus it on things above. For if we concentrate on things below, we gain nothing from being here. Be thou exalted, O our Lord Jesus, and by thy Spirit come and dwell with us this little while we're here. In thy name we pray, and for thy glory. Amen. Before I read there's some things that you as a church need. We get to a place and we kind of stall out. We sit there. We listen good. But it comes a time when we move into a higher realm. A place where the worship in this place is fitting to be called that. We continue with all that we do, our devotion, our hymns, and our preaching of truth. But that's included in worship. And then we've got these young ones coming on, unconverted, and a mother that's given birth to one, she knows what to expect with the second one. So, are we not like Israel that God said, Moses, you all have dwelt long enough in this mountain, in this mount? Is it not time that we move one step further? But in doing so, I assure you of this, that when Israel got ready to leave the land of Egypt, going to Canaan, there was a Red Sea that was impassable. There was no way that they could get over that. And there was Pharaoh and his army behind them, and they were hemmed in. Had no hope of deliverance. And yet, God let them pass on dry land. And then when they got to Canaan, on this side Canaan, ready to go in, just so happened that they come again to a river that is overflowing, Jordan. Overflowing its banks. Impossible to cross. But the Lord told Joshua, let the priest man the ark, let him walk out into the river and stand, and you all will walk over on dry ground. God always makes a way. Now in us hopefully seeing the church, the mother here, bring forth, I trust God will give us strength to do that. But the activity of Satan shall be increased. Let me read. Now, I won't dwell here, just a little for your benefit. We haven't seen many conversions because we believe that is the work of God. And hopefully God will prepare us or that. And I don't remember if it was a sermon of Mr. Spurgeon or if it was a tract that somebody lifted from one of his sermons. But I couldn't go back, wouldn't know where to start looking in all his volumes of writings. I probably could have searched and found it, but that I know that he said it is enough. And he used the passage in Mark. Did I? All right. A man brings his son to the Lord Jesus. And in bringing him there, Straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground foaming. And he asked his father, this is Jesus talking, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And Mr. Spurgeon said, every time a child, one under conviction, one under the weight of sin, striving to get to the Lord Jesus, they'll always face obstacles like this young lad did. And his father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus turned it around on him and said, if thou canst believe. Well, I got one on that poor man that day. I know that God is able. But if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man cried out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So we faced with unbelief also. We've dwelt here long enough. Let us move to a higher ground. Now, I don't know why I brought that up, but I did, and it has nothing to do with the message. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And all I want to speak to you about today is just the candle of the Lord. Hopefully show you with the Lord's help what it is. And secondly, the danger of it being put out. What is the candle? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What is it? Well, the word breath is sometimes used here. And God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. Breath and spirit, same words. And Adam became a living soul. You're in one of those states. None living are living pursuing God. So the breath of the spirit of man in you is the candle of the Lord. Now, folk, a long time before I ever knew the Lord, within was a consciousness of a God. Nobody had to convince me that there was a God. You've got no beginning place if you do not begin there. All other starting places is wrong. I just knew there was a God. Knew that before I could read and write. And some of the men of old said that your conscience is God in man. Now, when God formed Adam from the clay, he had all bodily parts, He had all the different systems of a human being which made him a living being. I mean, he had the circulatory system, heart, arteries, veins, all that, pumping life afresh and anew again and again throughout his body. He had a digestive system that when he ate, it broke down the food and it got into the bloodstream. And there, from that food, nourishment to your cells. And he gave you a respiratory system, lungs, breathing in fresh air, expelling dangerous air out of your system. Adam had all that, but that's all he was. He was just a human being walking around on 2 feet upright until that day that God breathed into him the breath or the spirit of life. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. All that are born into the world have a candle or a conscious God within man. And all salvation is just Christ in you, to whom God would make known the riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. And in Adam, bright did this little candle shine. But one day Adam sinned, and he failed, bringing all his sons and daughters into that fallen, lost condition. But there still remained enough in his conscience that he knew the Supreme Being. He knew enough that he and Eve went out and sowed some fig leaves together, because he knew that this God had a searching eye. So if he can cover up his nakedness, maybe that'll be sufficient. But it wasn't. You can go into the darkest part of any jungle if the heathens are still there, and they're going to worship some god. They don't know what it is, they'll build one. Might be a tree that they cut down, that the scripture tells how foolish man is, and he'll cut down. Part of it he'll use for wood to bake bread. Part of it he'll build a fire to warm himself. And part of it he'll carve out a god for him to worship. Man knows that there is a God. And there's just something in the child saying to that one, it's right, that's right, or that's wrong. But sadly, that little candle does not burn brightly anymore since Adam's fall. And especially in a society, God being removed. But it does not matter how brightly it has burned in the past, it's not sufficient. No matter the light you've got, God is. God will either save or damn me. You know that. That's light. That's the candle. That's the spirit within But that can't save you. All the light can do is bring you to He that was the light of the world. And until you get there, you're not a Christian. You've got to get to the Lord Jesus. And that is the Word. Must be quickened and made alive in your soul. The light, we got a little light in the book. It's as a candle, but it needs the Spirit of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. It is the Spirit of God taking the Word and making it living, quick, and making it powerful, and dividing asunder that which is in your spirit and that which is in your soul, and making you a discerner of the Spirit. You think heathens didn't have that light? You think Israel, that rejected the Lord Jesus, did not have that light? Paul before Agrippa, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And he said, yes, I know that thou believest. Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. That was the light. That was that flickering candle. That was that God within that man. It could also be said of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, believest thou the scripture? Why, certainly. I was raised on scripture. Mom and dad read the Bible. They carried me to Sunday services, worship service. Back then it was Saturday, the last day in God's creation. Now it's the first day since the resurrection. Yeah, they believed. As did Saul of Tarsus. Believed everything in the Old Testament. He just didn't have light to see that they spoke the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed. Genesis to Malachi, every one he had, he believed. But that's not sufficient to get a man to the Lord Jesus. The Word must be quickened. Now in John 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness of that light. He was not that light. I'm not. But then important, that's the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Everybody that is born has got that candle. That light of God. Sadly, terribly wrong is many, many children have had that light put out by parents practicing atheism. Oh, they'd fight you if you call them that to their face. And in words, they will say, no, I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. But the inconsistencies in their life says to everybody around them, they do not know or believe in God. Just look at how they're living. And all you young folk here, middle-aged, the light's not sufficient, how others live. You cannot say, well, they're a Christian and they have freedom to do this and go into those places that only the ungodly would go. And parents put out that light. Churches put it out. And woe unto them that call evil good. I get to go visit grandmother on Sunday. That's my only time off. Well, you had Saturday, but I go fishing with my friends. Or I get together with my girlfriends and we do some things. Can't visit grandmother but on Sunday. That's an atheist practicing. Now you see what the light is, what that candle is. It is the spirit that you came into the world with, testifying in your heart, there is a God. And churches have put it out, and parents have put it out, and now to the second point, the danger is this light being put out in you. Been a lot of people by careless living put out the light, the candle that they had. And when that's gone, they dead. Oh, not, they can still go to work. They can still raise a family. They can still teach Sunday school, they can still preach. Children, it wasn't long. Less than 90 years, less than 60 years after the death of Christ, that he sends that letter to all seven churches in Asia Minor and warned them about the candle, the light being put out. Now for three places, Proverbs 24, Proverbs 24, verse 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Folks, don't get it in your head that the wicked are the drunkards on Saturday night that don't know, I can't find the house or the door. Or the women slipping off to places they should not be. You can be an outstanding citizen and yet in private, you do not belong to the Christian community, and you do not belong out there to the ungodly and worldly, but you're flirting with your light being put out. The light or the candle of the wicked shall be put out. And then Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Well, you have reason to, that light that became a bright, bright, burning bulb when the Spirit of God took his word and taught you. Light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. And now a verse in Job. Job 18, I said a verse, two verses. Job 18, beginning with verse 5. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire, spark here and gone, shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. Light, candle, all the same word. Folk, there were five foolish virgins. They had a lamp. They had sufficient oil to burn it for a little. It sparked up to give fire for a little, long enough to go meet the bridegroom. These foolish virgins, the light of the wicked, you can say the light of the fool, shall be put out. These foolish virgins dwelt among the Lord's children, and no one could tell the difference. And it can be that is the light, like their lamps, it can be and will be put out in life. And the wicked, in the wicked, because they all shall forget God and rule him out. Now, last place I want you to turn, and it's so familiar to you that you could quote it probably by heart, and that's Psalm 19. Now, before I read this, I remind you of that verse in Romans that I've quoted to you many, many times. Chapter 1, verse 20 of Romans. The invisible things of him, that is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. God brought to reality. The invisible things of God are made plain. They're made understandable by the things that he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead. I don't have to look in the book, though I do daily. But I can walk in creation, and creation has a voice of God. That's what David was doing, lying out there in the night, keeping watch over his flock, looking up at the stars and the vastness of the number. And he's talking about God, how great God is, and then looking at himself. How little am I? That's the eternal power of the Godhead, not being read in a book, but being recognized in the things that God made. All about you, clearly seen in them his eternal power and Godhead. Romans 1 said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, wherefore God gave them up. Put out their candle, gave them over to a reprobate mind. And folk, there are two or three translations of the Bible that are fairly accurate. But the Word of God has gone through so many different translations that you walk into a store with a Bible bookstore and you'll find 25 to 40 different versions. That's God taking the light out of this place. Which one's correct? Which one do I buy? Which one do I read? And you read one, and I'm reading to you another, and some of them are so far off that you won't even understand what the old, good old King James English said. I don't think we've improved since then, folks. Those men. But any rate, that's light being taken from us. Put all those different versions out there. But in your Bible, as in creation, you've got God, God's Son, the Holy Spirit, and the gospel made known in this book. But that's just the Spirit of God shining light, and without that, this book is nothing to you. You can't understand the thing it's saying without the Spirit of God. In creation with the voice of God within, that being evidenced in every place that you look. Deuteronomy, my word shall distill as dew and drop as a small drops of rain. My word, dew, rain, water. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's David. Reading God's book of creation and looking within, as John told you about that blackness within. What am I that God would have a word to speak to me? You know, sometime back, America, the nation, ruled out the reading of Bibles in schools. And next comes prayer. It's taken away in all public places just because it was offensive to one or two. And because it was offensive to one or two and they had this loud voice, it is now offensive to the majority. Not because it offends the little ones, it offends their parents. Don't set some book down in front of me and tell me that I've got to live this way. Don't you be teaching that to my children. They'll come home. I don't want anything to do with the book and those loud voices silenced and took away the book of God. In all public places, it's coming to the church. You can rest assured of that. Then there came along this man that loved poetry and music, dwelt there. In his pursuit of education, he studied medicine and theology, which one day later he rejected. Because God gave him over somewhere to a reprobate mind. And he began to rule out the existence of a God. I can't have a God that I gotta stand before at the end of my life. So God doesn't exist. Just like the lady that had such a loud voice in the last century, before the Senate and everybody, and they said, okay, we better get rid of prayer. It offends her. Raised in a Baptist home, her dad a Baptist preacher. But somewhere she was reprobated. Got to get rid of prayer. It's offensive to me. And this man that rejected the creation in the very book that he studied, rejected it. And he came up with this conclusion that all species of life, all life, descended from one common ancestor. The little ant crawling on the ground and the elephant came from one species. The flying eagle, that majestic bird, or the crow. Well, let's get away from the bird family and that eagle. Won't have anything but fresh kill. God said you could be like that as a child of God, soaring out into those outer places where God makes himself known in such a greater way. But that eagle that flies high above the solar, and a cow came from the same species, according to him. But the one thing science has never been able to do is cross the species. Now, within a certain species, they bred this and that and grafted this and that and made a lot of different things. But they work within the species. And so now back then in 1968, the Supreme Court overturned the law that had banned teaching evolution in schools all across America. And the one thing that they asked for was just put it alongside of creation, and we don't even mind if you put evolution as a theory. We don't mind that a bit. Now guess which one's a theory and which one's a scientific fact. Evolution no longer is a theory. It's a proven fact. And if there was any speaking about God or things like that, no, God doesn't exist. That's the light. That's the little candle having gone out. And folk, if you want to look into the face of an old man, get his picture. I look at him in the last years of his life. I speak of Charles Darwin. Threw away his theology, threw away his training, threw away God. God said, okay, if you want to see a lifeless individual headed into eternity, look up his last pictures and look in his eyes. Dead and lifeless. Cold. No hope. And God's probably made him live in a little hell before he got there. because he denounced creation and the God of creation. And to get rid of him in his own mind, he came up with a theory of evolution. One man's work ruled God out of education, out of society. One woman's big mouth ruled prayer, removed prayer out of public places and schools. And now you live in a nation that has been given up by God, then you better treasure the least amount of light you got. Hey, you better not flirt with that which will dampen, eventually put out your light. The lamp, the candle, or the light of the wicked shall be put out. You don't have to be an atheist to be wicked. And in our nation, and that had such a small beginning to take such a strong hold in our society. One man, one woman. And I've always heard that the squeaky wheel got the grease. And now here you are, treasure. So small the beginning that's taken place in my lifetime. And now it's a land where even the pulpits are occupied by false prophets. They don't say bad things. They just don't give you the truth in its fullness, in its meaning. And they sit there or stand there, and they talk like an angel from heaven. Satan's pretty powerful. He can give them a good voice. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, Isaiah 8, it is because there is no light in them. I said Psalm 19, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. If I sat down with one from Japan or one from China or Ethiopia, I couldn't understand a thing they said, nor could they understand anything I said. But if they're a Christian and I'm a Christian and we walk out, we have the same speech and the same language. Because everywhere creation is, so you tell me where it's not, and I'll show you where God is not a voice. But verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now when you read this next verse, he set a tabernacle for the sun. I want you to think of the tabernacle for the S-O-N, for Malachi calls him the S-O-N of righteousness. He set a tabernacle, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The gospel started over there in Israel after the resurrection of Christ. And it went to all those countries, And then eventually it crossed the Atlantic and it came to the last land that had no gospel. And our old forefathers brought the gospel of the blessed Lord Jesus to this land. But we didn't respect it. Played around with it. Didn't become serious about it. And now, folks walk out under the heavens and the sun, providing heat and light. It's got absolutely no voice concerning the gospel of our Savior. And back then, no, let me say, after darkness crept in where the gospel had been there, they got to looking at the sun and the moon and the stars and fixed upon earth that wasn't moving. And they said, everything up there moves around the earth. Everything. And that the earth was the center of our galaxy. But then came the discovery of the telescope, and scripture was proven to be true, that the S-O-N is the very center of our galaxy. Everything that He created and He ordained, He is Lord over all, working them for the glory of God. And we found out our planet's not stationary. We're not that important after all. And due to light being removed, well, the world got here from a tiny speck of matter. How the sun and the moon, well, I could give you some of the teachings of evolution there, but why crowd out your mind with junk? Since the light's been removed, now I am the center of the world. Me. And all you little eyes sitting out there, you are the center of the world. And everything revolves around you. If somebody makes you mad, well, get rid of them. Somebody, the old preacher doesn't speak good of you all the time. And sometime with no idea that he might be speaking to you, you were offended. You can either bow to it or you can get mad at the preacher because he invaded your territory where you were the sinner. Move God. Well, no, we can even create a God by the theologians. That's good for man. He's loving. Most everything they say about him is true, but they misapply it. And with the theologians, now the S-O-N, the moon, which is the church, and the stars, which are His ministers, they all revolve around the man. If you don't believe that, just step in some of these churches where the man is always bragging on the people. You are the center of the world. And I didn't come here today with bad news for you because you are important. And they fitted the message, and they fitted a God, according to their own thinking. I want this kind of God, and I want this kind of God for my people. Therefore, this kind of God is what I'm going to present on Sunday mornings when I go. Sunday night, Wednesday night. And even God and His Son exist for this very purpose. Now that's true in the life of a Christian. God brought you into His family, has provided for you, has kept you, has taught you. And God put an importance upon you. If you think that's not so, go to Calvary. And you listen to the moans and the sufferings of our Savior. And you tell Him that God didn't pay a high price and that He didn't purchase you. So in one sense, God bring you into His family and He'll work everything for your good. They want a thing come your way that God doesn't turn around and make good. Just don't lose God. And don't let the light go out in your world. You young folk, please take heed. I mean, you're walking in darkness all around you. I know you don't believe that. I know you don't. But you are. And I wish that you would give heed to an old, outdated preacher. The Lord help you.